This is the Uptick Network Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by InvestorsHangout.com. Penny stock news and interviews from the microcap world. Public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world. With your host, Everett Jolly.
On today's show, we have a new guest. I'm excited to have him on here because I think they've got a huge discovery, and we're going to learn all about what they are doing. We're talking about Wealth Minerals LTD. They trade on the OTCQB under the ticker symbol WMLLF. And with us is the president, Tim McHutchison. Tim, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
There's been a lot of talk about your guys' company and about lithium and then Chile, and I can't wait to get all the facts from you. But before we do that, for my listeners, give us a little bit about statement of who you guys are and what you do.
Yeah, sure. So Wealth Minerals made a decision a little over a year and a half ago, to get into the lithium space because we saw that there was an opportunity to sort of get on the ground floor of what is happening right now in the world. Basically, you know, Tesla is in the news for a reason, but it's really a small part of a much bigger trend of the world changing its energy habits. The way the world uses, consumes, and stores energy is changing really right before our eyes, and lithium is a key part of that. And so if you look at the lithium space, as the Wealth guys did about a year and a half ago, sort of deciding how this is going to play out, if you're going to be in lithium, a key component for batteries, you want to have assets that are brine assets, basically assets where you're geologically sucking up lithium-rich water, a brine, and then extracting the lithium from that water. They're by far the lowest cost operations in the world. They're the easiest to sort of understand and identify, and they have the lowest risk. So if you're going to be in brine assets then, you know, which jurisdiction do you want to be in? There's plenty of assets in Chile, in Argentina, in Bolivia. There's some in China. And there are a few others scattered throughout the world. But Chile is a mining-friendly destination, is just bar none. You know, it's one of the best mining places in the world to be.
Absolutely.
So the team made a decision to be, if I'm going to be in lithium, I want to be in brine. If I'm going to be in brine, I want to be in Chile. And so they basically went in full steam ahead in there. And now we have probably the largest land package of any North American mining company in terms of lithium assets in Chile.
So tell me this, what is the business case for Wealth Minerals? Are we monetizing yet? Are we bringing anything out? Can you give us an up-to-date report on that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, just sort of following on, you know, the thing about brine assets are it's essentially a dried lake bed, right? That's still a little bit wet underneath the crust. All you got to do is go to Google Maps, and everything you see there, that's it. There's no hidden brine. You're not going to drill a hole underneath the ice cap of Greenland and find a brine asset. Everyone knows exactly where they are. Everyone knows sort of what's going on there. And so if you believe in a paradigm shift in the way energy is used and consumed in the world, then these brine assets become very, very valuable. And there is a very finite quantity of them that everyone knows where they are. So the business plan of Wealth has been, how do we get our hands on these assets in the best jurisdiction, we think, for mining at a cost that's reasonable and then advance them? So we've begun the process of, gone very much through the process of acquiring land packages. And, you know, so we have a very sizable position in various brine assets throughout Chile, Solares. And now the process is that we're developing these assets to bring them through to a resource, to a feasibility study, eventual construction, mine construction, and production. So we're transitioning now from land acquisition to development. We've started work on one of our assets already about a month ago. We're gearing up to get the various permits to work on the core asset that we have called the Atacama Solar. And we hope to be working on that in the summer. And so the real sort of situation here in terms of the catalyst event is the Atacama Solar is the world's largest brine asset under production right now. It represents one third of the world's lithium production. We have a huge land stake in this solar, and all we got to do is show that the types of brines that are being mined in the south of the Atacama Solar exist in the north. All of the geophysical evidence suggests that that's the case. All of our research suggests that that's the case. So the key thing for us this summer, we're going to put a few holes right down into the middle of it, demonstrate that there's lithium-containing brines within our land package in the Atacama Salar. And then, you know, we're pretty much off to the races because the Atacama Salar is one-third of the world's production. It's by far, it's just the most fantastic project out there. It's got the lowest cost of any lithium project in the world. And we're right smack in the middle of it. So that's, you know, the long-term trend is paradigm shift in the way lithium is used and consumed energy and everything else. The medium short-term trend is demonstrating that wealth has a land package in one of the lowest cost, largest, most prolific lithium assets in the world.
You know, for myself and for my listeners, maybe educate us a little bit. Why is it so important to have a 43-101? And what exactly is BLIME?
Okay, so when you think of mining, let's start with the second question first. When you think of mining, you think of, you know, dump trucks and jackhammers and explosions, and you're pulling out rock and then you crush it and everything else. The lithium brine business doesn't work that way. Essentially, you're taking a big straw and you're sucking it down into a sort of a goopy sponge.
Okay.
And then you're very gently sucking out water out of that sponge. The water is replenished through inflow from outside sources as well as aquifers underneath it. The lithium over, you know, thousands and thousands of years has deposited itself into the bed of this lake, essentially, that's dried out. And the sponge is basically your lithium and your potassium and all sorts of other salts and minerals and elements that are all sort of caked together. And it's just soaked in water. So when you're pumping out that water, the action of pumping out the water takes with it the lithium and all the other goodies that you want.
I see.
And then you take that water, you turn it into a slush, and then you essentially put it out in the sun to dry. And the salt that's left over is your lithium salt, essentially. It's a very low-tech process. So mining lithium, and I use mining almost in quotations, it's not quite the same as, you know, mining iron ore, coal, or gold, or anything like that. It's a different sort of process. But we just call it mining because, you know, it's extracting a natural resource. As far as the NI 43-101 is National Instrument 43-101. And we're a Canadian public company. In Canada, there are certain regulatory restrictions that all companies have in terms of announcing scientific evidence into a certain template that the exchange will recognize. And the reason this is put in place is so that people don't run around just throwing out crazy numbers without any scientific evidence backing it up. So there are very strict standards as to calling things a resource, a reserve, feasible, not feasible, economic, not economic. These parameters are all set by regulations, and you have to comply with them before you start talking about stuff. So our task right now is basically to gather all of the data to a sufficient degree that NI 43-101 standards will let us basically publish a report for the public investor audience.
Oh, I got it. My guest today is Tim McHutchison. He's the president of Wealth Minerals Limited. They trade on the OTCQB under the ticker symbol WMLLF. Tell me, what's the company's futures plan? Where do we go from here?
Okay, well, you know, the key thing, again, is if you think about our core asset, the Atacama Salar, and you say to yourself, okay, if this becomes what we think it's going to be, what does that look like? Well, we can look at a few comparison companies. We can look at Orocobre, for example. We can look at a few other companies that are involved in the lithium mining space. And, you know, at 20 to 30,000 tons of lithium carbonate equivalent production a year, a comparative analysis suggests that this would be a $700 to $900 million company.
Wow.
So, yeah. Now, there's a long way to go to get there, but it's not that long, and it's fairly predictable in terms of the paths we take. I mean, the key thing about any company is risk, and the key thing about developing, you know, these assets is that the steps are pretty clear. I mean, we're not reinventing the wheel here, right? So we have to go from acquiring the land, putting together the team, which we've done, beginning the initial work, which we've done, collecting the data points to put together a resource, which we're going to be working on as soon as we get the permits this summer, get the sufficient data points to put together the NI 43-101 that we just spoke about, turn that into a feasibility study that we can go to the banks for financing, and then you finance it and you build a mine. Given the characteristics of what we have, we fully expect this to be a fantastic asset, because not that far to the south of us, they're extracting the highest grade lithium brines in the world, and they have the lowest cost of any lithium project in the world, and that's only 30 kilometers away on the exact same geological body.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, it's a big dried lake bed. So, you know, you think of your cup of coffee in the morning, you put some cream in it, and the cream evenly distributes throughout the cup of coffee, right? Well, it's the same thing here. You have this water that's carrying around and sloshing around all of these various minerals and elements and salts, and so we fully expect that the grade of the lithium in the southern part of the Atacama area is going to more or less be consistent in the north. There are a few tricks to that as well, and I, you know, it's a sort of more detail than I can go here. I suggest you look at the website. We do have to drill a little bit deeper down to 400 meters because on the surface is where some of this fresh water is coming in to replenish the salar. So we have to drill below that layer of water replenishment to get the sort of the core part of the salar. But again, nothing here that we're reinventing the wheel. They're drilling deep in all sorts of salars all throughout the world, the brine assets. So we do that, we develop it out, and we just methodically check the boxes, right? And we get from $120 million to a $900 million company.
Absolutely. You know, I was looking at one of your recent press releases. You guys raised about $4.1 million. Is that for the Laguna Verde project?
Yep. Well, that's for the Laguna Verde project. It's also for some for basically helping out with other projects. But Laguna Verde is, you know, again, there's a fantastic project there because it's a lake. And so the grade of the lithium might be a little bit less than in a brine underground, but it's a lake, so it's right there. I mean, you can basically take this water and you can process it and get the lithium out. There's a similar process right now in the Dead Sea. I mean, you know, the Dead Sea between Israel and Jordan in the Middle East.
Know it very well.
They've been for decades, they've been mining magnesium and potassium from the Dead Sea with a very sort of well-tested technology. In fact, the technology providers who have engineered the entire process of processing Dead Sea Lake water, we've actually hired them to come up with a solution for the Laguna Verde project. But magnesium and potassium, they suck up the water, they process it, they put it out in the sun to dry, and then you recover your potassium salts or your magnesium. And the magnesium salts they recover from the Dead Sea, they make your alloy wheels for your cars.
Wow.
You know, so this technology's been all proven, and it's just basically, you know, having the money and the people put together to apply it to a specific project, which is what we're doing in Laguna Verde.
You know, silver's going for around $18 an ounce. Gold's north of, you know, $1,256 an ounce. My question to you is, what state of the global lithium market, what state is it in? Is it on the rising? Is it on descending? Can you elaborate?
No, good question. Well, the key thing about all of these industrial metals is that, you know, the market tends to be rather thin, right? Which means that, you know, you can pull up a computer and you can look at, you know, lithium prices and cobalt prices and all sorts of, you know, exotic metal prices. What the number you see on the screen isn't necessarily the number that's happening, because there's just not that much stuff traded in the world. There's roughly 200,000 tons of lithium carbonate equivalent traded every year, which is not that much. Most of it is traded in long-term contracts from battery producers and then all the other sources as well, in terms, you know, for pharmaceuticals, for lubricants, for drilling, for the oil and gas industry. So there are these long-term contracts that are locked in. So you don't have a lot of transparency in terms of pricing the way you would with gold, for example,
right,
or silver.
Right.
But you know, what the key thing to sort of think about is that the cost of producing lithium in the Atacama Salar, we do know this, is anywhere from $2,000 to $2,400 a ton, roughly in that range, yeah? Okay. The current sort of market cost in terms of what we see contracts out there, it's selling lithium anywhere from $12,000 to $18,000 a ton.
So you're getting 6 to 8 times on your money.
Yeah.
That sounds good to me.
Yeah. So there's a lot of, you know, I used to be an equity analyst, and what I used to tell people is, you want to listen to an analyst who can be wrong and still be very right. And there's a lot of wiggle room there, right? So,
right.
You know, it's a very thin market. It's gone up a lot. The key thing you got to remember here is that There is a huge shift happening in the lithium market today. Tesla, Volkswagen just announced they're making electric cars. The Chinese are going crazy making electric cars because they're trying to cut back on pollution.
Absolutely.
Mercedes-Benz is making electric cars. There simply is not enough lithium in the world today to supply all of these plans from automakers.
My guest today is Tim McHutchison. He is the president of Wealth Minerals. They trade on the OTCQB under the ticker symbol WMLLF. They seem very undervalued. Their stock's trading around $1.20 a share. Their market cap's around $91 million. In closing, Tim, is there anything that we didn't, you know, get a chance to talk about that you would like to get out there to the listeners?
Yeah, you know, things are just starting right now. And I think, you know, one of the key things I'd like to convey to your listeners is that, you know, when you're building a company, things don't happen overnight. I mean, when you watch a documentary about it, you know, you watch a documentary for an hour and a half and everything sort of happens.
Right, right.
When you're building a company, there are things that take time. We have to get permits from the government to do things. The government doesn't work on the same time frame that we do, so it takes time. But I think the key thing that if you look at our website, wealthminerals.com, you follow what we're doing, what you'll see is we've been very, very methodical about what we're doing. And we lay out a set of goals and we start ticking the boxes one by one. And, you know, at first it seems slow and then you sort of sit back and you observe and you see, you know what, we're just going forward, plowing this thing forward to become a premier lithium play in this very exciting space. Think of it this way. If you could go out and stake a bunch of ground in the back end, you know, for shale gas 15 years ago, you don't necessarily know exactly what it's going to be, but you're basically betting on a paradigm shift, right? You're going to say, I am
Absolutely.
Betting that shale gas is going to be an important part of energy in the U.S., you know, from now on, right? That's what Wealth Minerals is. You're saying lithium is a paradigm shift. Think the world is different than it was before. Lithium is a real thing that's happening. The reason Tesla's in the news all the time is not because they're beautiful cars or such, you know, they're not many of them made. It's that it represents a paradigm shift. The world's changing, and lithium's at the forefront of that change.
We're going from petroleum to lithium.
That's right.
Wow. I want to thank you for being on the show today, Tim. It was very intriguing. You definitely brought a lot of things to my listeners and a lot of thoughts. I wish you nothing but continued success. And please, you know, come back on the show 40, 50 days from now. Give us an update of the Laguna Verde project and let us know what's going on.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
The following program is entirely sponsored and produced by Uptick Newswire LLC, which is responsible for the following content. The opinions and information provided on today's show are those of the guests and of those of the respective companies they represent, and does not necessarily reflect those of the staff or management of this station. Uptick Network encourages all listeners of the show to do their own due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that'll work for them, or to seek the assistance of an investment professional. The guests of today's show may have paid to appear on the show and are not directly affiliated with Uptick Network or this station.